Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. First of all, a big congratulations to Plastic Free St Albans, winners of the Hearts Ad Great and Green Award for this year, and to the runners-up, Earthworks and Food Waste Ninjas, all three of them wonderful projects that we've featured here on Environment Matters and all well-deserving of an award. Now, coming up later, we'll hear how Oliver and Benji, who live in St Albans, are campaigning to save sharks. We'll find out how. Now, the local plan is a document which sets out local planning policies and identifies how land is used, determining what will be built where, which land will be taken out of Greenbelt, where large housing developments will be, and the key features of those developments. So it's a super important document that will shape the district into the future. Now, St Albans currently has no up-to-date local plan, and with the government putting pressure on to get a new one adopted, St Albans District Council is pulling out all the stops to get one agreed. The latest draft is out and it's up for consultation. I spoke to St Albans District Council planning portfolio holder, Councillor Mary Maynard, to find out all about it. So, Mary, thank you for joining me. So, back in the new year, we were discussing encouraging listeners to give their views on your previous consultation. So, how have the responses that they gave shaped the latest draft of the local plan?
In fact, we've built the latest draft around what the consultees have said. There were two main messages coming to us from it. The first was around Greenbelt and how important and valuable people within St Albans and District. It's just their basic feelings about Greenbelt and their concern about environmental matters.
Yeah,
this came over tremendously strongly in the consultation. And one of the things it enabled us to do was look very, very carefully about how we would balance building in the Greenbelt with the Greenbelt objectives and with the wider needs of the environmental, generally, the wildlife issues, etc. And we designed our whole approach to building based on limiting Greenbelt damage. So we identified sites which had the least impact on Greenbelt purposes.
Right. OK, so you really did take on board what the respondents were saying and you have embodied those.
We've embodied them in the whole process, and what's come out of it is based on what they said. The second thing they said was, and it reflects very well on our residents, they have a real concern for the needs of others, and particularly the needs of low-income families, the needs of the young in getting their first homes, the needs of the elderly in living in appropriate homes for their needs.
Of course.
They reflected this in what they said, and that is one of the things we've also built into this. Affordable homes, social homes, and appropriate homes for older people.
Right.
So to move into.
Right. So ensuring that the houses that are being built are going to actually, as you say, meet these requirements, the requirement for affordable homes, and as you say, for vulnerable members of society as well.
I mean, 13% of all the homes that will be built will be social.
Right.
Overall, 40% will be affordable.
Right. So these are good percentages that you are going to really press for, and they're going to be embodied there in the local plan. Excellent.
Yes.
So you wanted our opinions then in the consultation in the new year. Now, there's a new consultation now, but this consultation is different. We can only object on certain grounds. Do you just want to just briefly explain what this consultation is about?
This consultation is predominantly a technical consultation, but it does give people the opportunity to give their views. What it's essentially asking is, are the plans sound?
Right.
Which is a legal term, actually. And soundness is, does it conform to all the planning and legal policies which the government has put in place? But one of the things we welcome is people just to give their views.
Okay, so you don't actually, although it would be nice if people were to sort of look at planning law and see what you're required to do, but actually you will accept people saying, well, you know, actually, have you thought about this, or, you know,
you certainly will. Okay. And for example, one of the things, several of my fellow councillors have already put their views in.
Right.
And they have passed to planning officers. I have said to planning officers that I don't think we've put enough attention in on making green leafy spaces.
Yes.
And they are taking these comments on board.
Okay.
And will reflect in updates on policy.
Right. Okay, then. So, you know, as you've already indicated, actually the things that are in the plan, things like adding a lot of housing to our district, is going to have a big effect on the environment.
Yes.
So let's just go through a little few of the ways that perhaps that can be mitigated, or some of the policies to do with that. Now, you've mentioned Greenbelt, and you've mentioned that you have, because of the findings of the last consultation, you've tried to minimise the use of Greenbelt land, but you still have specified that land is going to be taken out of Greenbelt. Now, we can only do that in exceptional circumstances, the National Planning Policy Framework says. Do we have exceptional circumstances here?
Well, funnily enough, the need for housing is not considered an exceptional circumstance.
Right.
So, but what we have the need for in this area is improved and sustainable transport. And one of the things we're doing through this is on one of the sites, we hope to improve the railway line between Watford and St Albans, the Abbey line,
right,
so that it perhaps has more stations, but definitely has better, has more frequent
service,
so that people will use it, and for example, commuters will use it, and people would use it to go to work.
Right.
We're also looking at improving the M1 with an improved junction, at I think it's Junction 8.
Right.
And that would give a lot of benefit to existing people in the north of the district who want to go south on the M1. It would give improved links.
Okay, so you think
these north-south links,
trying to solve some of those transport issues, you feel is an exceptional circumstances?
That would become part of an exceptional circumstances case.
Right, okay.
The other thing is that as part of this plan, we're going to build 4 new secondary schools and 14 new primary schools.
Yes.
Now, those developments will be on new sites, but they're there to also serve the needs of the existing population. And as you know, there has been ongoing issues within the district in terms of school places.
Indeed.
And the number of schools that are available.
Okay,
and this will help to address that.
Right, so obviously the new schools will have to cater for the new children coming to the area, but you're saying this actually they will be here there to help ease the problems that are already there as
but
well.
But just having new schools changes the balance of
indeed,
you know, catchment areas for schools, and starts to ease up some of the existing problems.
Yes, and perhaps also it might shorten journeys that people have to take to go to schools as well, for example.
Exactly. One of the whole concepts around the local plan is sustainability. And what we're trying to do in some of these new areas is build in, so you have the area, you have local shopping facilities available. There is local leisure facilities available. The school is there. And we're trying to build it in so that people do not have to get in their cars.
Right.
They can walk to school, they can walk to the shops.
Trying to make sure that all of those things that you need in day-to-day living are actually close to
hand. On your doorstep.
Reducing the need for travelling.
Yeah.
So, as you say, trying to reduce the impact, trying to incorporate sustainability. Now, in the draft local plan, obviously lots of building is proposed, and you have stated that there will be excellence in design, energy efficiency and water management, but haven't actually said what standard that's going to be. And the Buildings Research Establishment down the road, they have specified levels. Why no specified level? What standard will these new buildings conform to?
Okay, there are two levels you have to look at. The first is for the individual buildings. The building researcher, the BRE,
yes,
down the road, they actually contribute to the government policies on this, and we will expect the government policies to be adopted in terms of building individual homes. More importantly is the master planning, and master planning means how you lay out these new communities,
yep,
what you build into them. In master planning, we want to build in the concepts of sustainability in terms of transport, in terms of power. We'll be looking at energy efficiency and the layout across the sites in terms of efficiency. And we'll be involving the BRE in these wider approaches to get their insight.
So you will actually be involving them to ensure that you'll be hitting the highest standards that you can do?
We will be.
Excellent. And just a fairly small point on that kind of issue. On the development to the east of St Albans, you specified a site-wide combined heat and power system to be delivered in association with research and teaching initiatives at Oaklands College and its partner institutions. Why have you done that?
Oaklands offered it. Oaklands are amongst the best in the world at this, and they said one of the things they wanted to do was to build this into the new community.
So this can generally be seen as being something that delivers a more efficient energy and heating, and hopefully we'll be able to do for that
site as well. And it's better for the individuals because it will be cheaper to live there, and it's better for the environment.
Okay. So moving on to another thing that, again, you kind of mentioned, in the draft local plan, you have specified for new country parks, but how will these be designed? Are these going to be first and foremost for people, or are these going to be for wildlife?
They're going to be for both. We envisage that there is going to be green areas associated with every one of the developments. On some of them, they're going to be large country parks, which will have a range of things, which will include havens for wildlife, different leisure locations. They'll include trim trails.
Right.
They'll include horse riding, and they'll include dog walks, you know, walks for people to go through. There will be a mix of forest and just farmland.
Right.
So they're going to be managed so that they're attractive places for local people to go to. And that's not just the people in the new developments. It's also people who live generally in
Fair
the area.
Everybody. Lovely. Well, that's good to know. Yeah. Now, just for one final question. The plan contains proposals for a significant new business development, the Hertfordshire Envirotech Enterprise Zone, to deliver both Envirotech businesses and environmentally friendly buildings. And this is on a site towards Hemel Hempstead. Why Envirotech and why there?
This is actually part of a strategy that's been around for a number of years. It's one that was initiated with local council, St Albans, and also with Decorum and Hearts County Council, and also the Hertfordshire Local Enterprise Partnership. It involves the BRE and Rothamsted. They are cornerstones of the strategy. But what they're going to do is have a site which will have facilities for new business startups in this area, which will attract overseas and UK companies into the area. And it's a bit like Silicon Valley. You start to attract organisations who have, you know, who can share expertise. You have access to the right quality staff who can sort of spark ideas off each other, work with each other. You get them in a common location, and you begin to have something that's very, very attractive in business terms. That's what we're trying to do. Turn St Albans into the world leaders.
In Envirotech. That sounds like a fantastic ambition. Mary Maynard, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to you, Mary Maynard, the councillor who's the portfolio holder for planning. And you have until Wednesday the 17th of October if you would like to comment on the local planning. You'll find all the documents that you need on the council website. That's www.stalbans.gov.uk. And you'll also find the documents in local libraries as well. Now, you won't see many of them around St Albans, but Fleetville pupils, Oliver and Benji Furs, have been inspired to help sharks. Along with Mum Helen, they joined me in the studio to explain. So I've got three guests in the studio here, and you are?
I'm Benji and I'm 9 years old.
Okay, and you are?
Oliver and I'm 7 years old.
And hi, Helen.
Hi.
So let's start with you, Benji. What have you been doing to help sharks?
So we've been writing letters to restaurants in England that sell shark fin soup and telling them not
to sell shark fin soup. Otherwise, sharks might become extinct.
Okay. So, Oliver, why are you worried about sharks?
Because they might come extinct, and we don't want that.
And why would that be a sad thing?
Because, you might say to your children or grandchildren that there used to be an animal called a shark that lived on the water, and no one helped it, and no one stopped them. Right. Everyone chopping off their fins, so they just died off.
Okay, so Benji, just coming back to you there. What do you say to people? Because a lot of people just think that sharks are aggressive killers. Is that right?
No, because more people are killed by cows or selfies than sharks. And also, sharks don't even mean to eat people. They just mistake them for seals or fish.
Okay, so in actual fact, relative to other things, sharks aren't so dangerous, and actually when they do hurt us, it's not because they're being aggressive towards us as well, is it? So, Helen, could you tell us a bit more about what we can all do to help sharks and help the campaign that you're associated with?
Yes, so first of all, I'd say if you could Google Bite Back, which is the charity which is trying to make Britain shark fin free. And also there is a petition that you can sign, which is to end the personal import allowance of shark fins to Europe. So at the moment, it's legal to bring shark fins to this country, even though it's illegal to fish for sharks and cut off their fins. So it makes no sense, really, that we're still allowing people to bring all those shark fins in to the country.
And so that's a campaign we can all take part in. And just one more question for you, Benji and Oliver. Did you see David Attenborough's Blue Planet 2 and the sharks there?
I did.
And was that something that inspired you to help sharks?
That didn't inspire me, but, well, yeah, it did help, though.
You thought that the pictures that they showed there made you think that sharks were important?
Yes.
You did, yeah. Benji, Oliver, Helen, thank you very much indeed for coming and telling us all about the campaign. And just a reminder, that's the Bite Back campaign that you can help with as well. I'll be back at the same time next week. We'll be talking about Car Free Day and what's next for the organisers of Sustainable St Albans Week. Until then, thanks for listening.